I want to invite you to take your Bible from a passage I've never preached from, 2 Samuel 23. And I want us to look at verse 13 through verse 17. This is what the scripture says. If you've got an iPad, iPhone, whatever you've got, if you don't have any of that, the scriptures are on the screen. It says, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, place that David many times resorted to be alone with the Lord, just a special place. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, and he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want to take a little bit, and I want to talk to you about anything for the king. Anything for the king. A man was going Christmas shopping. It's that time of year, the time when we start Christmas shopping. We get out there, and we think it's the time of brotherly love, and we get out there, and we realize it's brotherly shove. But we get out there, and it's December before you know it, and it's jingle bells, and then January comes, and we're juggling bills. But anyway, a man was out shopping, and he went to a perfume counter and got a bottle of perfume for his wife, and he said to the lady, how much is it? And she said, it's $50. He said, can I see something cheaper? She immediately showed him another bottle. He said, how much is it? She said, it's $35. And he said, well, can I see something cheaper? And she gave him another bottle, and he said, how much is it? She said, it's $20. He said, can I see something cheaper? And she showed him a mirror. Anything for the king. You know, folks, sometimes when it comes to the Lord, it's just, can I see something cheaper? Sometimes when it comes to God's work, when it's convenient. Sometimes it's if it don't cost me anything. But our attitude should be anything for the Lord. It was the Lord that came and died. It was the Lord that the voluntary birth. Can you think about this? He left the ivory palace of heaven, came down here to this low land of sorrow. It was the Lord that lived a virtuous life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He got my sin so I could get his righteousness. Not only did a voluntary birth, not only a virtuous life, but he died a vicarious death. See, we should have been crucified. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Not only a vicarious death, but praise be unto God, a victorious resurrection. Amen? A victorious resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then I'm so grateful, folks, that it could be today a visible return. Could be today that the trumpet toots and we scoot, amen? Could be today that we leave here like Superman, come back like the Long Ranger. One old preacher said, I'll stand before my boss, take my loss, eat my supper, and come back on my horse. It's going to be a great time, amen? Yeah, we shouldn't be looking for the undertaker. We ought to be looking for the uppertaker. We shouldn't be looking for a hole in the ground. We ought to be looking for a hole in the sky. We shouldn't be looking for the Antichrist. We ought to be looking for Jesus Christ. He's coming back and very, very soon. Now, here's what's amazing, folks. Everything I shared, Jesus Christ did for you. Everything that I shared, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you, and he did it for me. And you know what I truly believe? Our attitude should be anything for the king. Anything for the king. See, we live in a day of easy believism. We live in a day, and whatever you do, Pastor, don't you challenge the people too hard. Don't you confront people too hard. Whatever you do, don't make them feel. We want everybody to feel comfortable when we. Let me tell you something, folks. God's called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. No, where did we ever get this at church is all about being comfortable? Listen, I'll tell you, I like to go to church when I'm challenged. I like to go to church when God speaks to my heart and I feel a need to move up a little closer. I like to go to church when I want to get just a little better for living for Him. Now, there's a beautiful story that I've never preached from. All my years, I've never preached from this story. And that's my heart. My heart, folks, is I want to share something fresh with the people. I want to share something that helps people. Because you got to understand, folks, I'll use little quips and I'll use little jokes and I'll use little things to maybe pull you in. But always remember, there's no power in that. That's not going to change your life. That story that I told is not going to change your life. The only thing that's going to change your life is worship and the Word of God. Nothing more. Anything that we place emphasis on other than worshiping God and the Word of God is wood, hay, and stubble. Thank God for all these other activities, but they're not what's most important. It's the worship of God. He desires that. And it's the Word of God. And He didn't give us the Word of God to increase our knowledge. He didn't give us the Word of God so Benny can show you that he can quote X amount of scriptures. He gave us the Word of God to change our lives, that we appropriate into our lives and we're never the same because of it. Now, let me give you this story. I want you to see something. I want you to see, first of all, a simple desire. Let me explain what's going on here. David was king, but he was deposed as king. He was dethroned as king. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Philistines had taken over his kingdom. And David was actually on the run. He was on the run from King Saul. He was hiding out in a cave in Adullam. Now, here he was. He was the king. He had the title. He had the title. But he didn't have the authority because the Philistines controlled Bethlehem. And hiding out in a cave with some of his men, David said these words, "Oh, what I'd give for some of that water back in Bethlehem. Oh, what I'd give when I was a shepherd boy just for a glass of that water. Oh, what I'd give. I hate water. Oh, what I'd give. Oh, what I'd give to taste that water one more time." You know what's amazing? Three of his men heard that request, and they said, "We've got to get that water for our king." Now, here's what's interesting, folks. We've got a king. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. There's none like Him, amen? There's nobody like Jesus. He never almost lost a battle, amen? He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody's going to change your life. Nobody's going to provide for your family. Nobody's going to meet your deepest need. Nobody's going to touch your sick body. Nobody's going to touch you emotionally. Nobody's going to heal your cancer. Nobody's going to put your marriage together. There's nobody like Jesus. You say, "Pastor, what does Jesus want for us? What does He want for me?" Here's what He wants. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell them how He died. He has no help but our help to draw men to His side. See, folks, God has gifted every one of you. God has gifted every one of you. He's given you a gift, according to 1 Peter 4 and 10. "As every man or woman hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." So why has God given me a gift? And why has God given you a gift? So we can help others. Now look what verse 11 says. It says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do his ability which God giveth, that God might be glorified." God's given you a gift so you can help others. so he'll be glorified, and so you can experience fulfillment. It's a simple request. He said, I'd like to have some of that water. But don't you see something else? A satisfying determination. Now, David said, I'd like to have some of that water. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Those men, they were in the cave of Adullam. They traveled to Bethlehem, which was 20 miles. I can imagine. I love my staff, and they're precious. I've never said they work for me in my life. I've always said we work together. Not somebody works for you. If you're the leader, that's the problem. They work for me. No, they work with you. If you want to create separation immediately, they work for me. No, they work with me. But I can't imagine saying to my staff, boy, I'd like to have a Diet Mountain Dew. And Cameron says, oh, I'm going to walk to McDonald's and get him one. But folks, that's what happened. That's what happened. Now, you say, Pastor, keep in mind, he wasn't even the king. He was in a cave. Why did they do that? See, this is what I've learned about people. You know, Christmas is coming, and we do a lot of this, a gift for a gift, gift, gift. A gift for a gift, gift, gift. You get me a gift, and I give you a gift, and I wonder how much they spend on the gift, and I hope I spend as much as they spend on the gift, and it's a gift for a gift, gift, gift. It's a waste of time. Now, here's what I would have thought. If he'd been king, I can understand it, because I'll walk 20 miles. He's the most powerful man on earth. He can do something for me. Let me tell you something. You know when you really serve God? You've really served God when you do something for somebody that can't do one thing for you back. You've really served God, not when somebody rubs your back and you rub their back. That's not really serving. That's not really. When you really serve God, it's when you do something for somebody and they can't do anything for you. That's giving. I thought about this. I thought, well, he wasn't even king. Why did they do it? And then I think I found out the answer. In 1 Samuel 22 and 2, it says basically David was in the Adullam, the cave of Adullam years before. And look what verse 2 says. It says, these guys came to him. They were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. David helped these men at a low time in their lives. David helped these men in a low time in their lives. And they never got over it. Let me tell you something, folks. I was lost on my way to hell. I was lost on my way to hell. But one night about midnight, not knowing psalms from palms, I'd never been in church with my mother. I didn't know anything about church, but I said, Mama, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. You don't understand. I cry myself to sleep every night. I put on a good front, but I'm miserable inside. She said, Benny, you need the Lord. Can I call Pastor Clayton Jones and let him come and talk to you? And Clayton came down, and Clayton said, Benny, you got to pray. I said, Clayton, you don't understand. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. And he said, it's not the length of the prayer, it's the strength of the prayer that makes the difference. And I prayed a simple prayer. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. He radically changed my life, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, I'm going to serve him in light of what he's done. I've been to the cave of Adullam. I was distressed. I was despondent. But Jesus changed my life. Let me tell you something. I see a simple desire. I see a satisfying determination. I'll tell you something else. I see a sacrificial dedication. Look what verse 14 says. It says, and David was then in a hold, and the garrisons of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. That word garrison, it means a stronghold or a fort. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, folks, they had built a barracks, the Philistines had. They had a stronghold on Bethlehem. They had guards. They had checkpoints. They had roadblocks. What are you saying? I'm saying, folks, for those men to go into Bethlehem, for those men to go into Bethlehem and get that water, it took dedication. It took dedication. Let me tell you something. Anything for Jesus is going to take some dedication. It's going to take some dedication. One little boy said, I love you, I love you, I love you, to his girlfriend. I'd scale the highest mountain or swim the widest river just to sit at your feet. But as he left, he said, I'll come back tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. Many people, I'll do this, I'll do that if it's convenient. But oh God, our attitude should be anything for the King. There's been a song that says, I came on business for the King. I came on business for the King. Folks, we ought to be about the King's business. A simple desire, a satisfying determination, a sacrificial dedication. But I'll tell you something else. A servant's duty. You know, I looked at David's mighty men, and David had some great men. David had one guy that literally killed 800 men by himself. I mean, we're talking about mighty men. We're talking about a man's man. We're talking about Hulk Hogan. We're talking about Lou Ferrigno. We're talking about Benny Tate. We're talking about a man's man. I mean, he had some, one guy, they was coming down there, and when their crops would come in, they would steal their crops, but one guy stood up and said, hey, that's over, that's done. No, no, no. You're not going to steal any more crops. That's a deal, Pickle. Not going to happen. But I looked at these three guys, and look at what the Scripture says about these three guys. It says, howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. Wait, these three guys? What's that saying, Pastor? They weren't the best. They weren't his best men. And see, folks, it's wonderful when we can realize you don't have to be the best. Somebody said, Pastor, you're not the best preacher in the world. Do you think I don't know that? Do you think I don't know that I'm not a grammarian? I know that. I'm not. I'll tell you what I do think. You say, you're arrogant. I don't care what you think. I'm the best pastor in the world because I care about people. Because I care about people. I care about people. But let me tell you something. I don't have to be the best preacher in the world. All I've got to do is do my best. You don't have to be the best singer in the world. All you got to do is your best. You don't have to be the best mom in the world. You just got to do your best. You don't have to be the best dad in the world. You just got to do your best. You don't have to be the best singer in the world. You don't have to be the best teacher in the world. You don't have to be the best greeter in the world. You don't have to be the best of anything. All God requires is you just do your best. You just do your best. That's our responsibility. Let me give you one other point, and I'm done. A spiritual deed. And here they come. They bring him the water. Listen, if they had traveled 20 miles to get me the Diet Mountain Dew, I would say, oh, that's terrible. But look, they brought him the water. I said, Pastor, what happened? Just poured it out. Now, when I first read that, I thought the audacity of that guy. Those three guys could have been killed. They traveled 20 miles. They went through the Philistines' garrison. They could have been killed. The nerve of you, David, just to nonchalant. But you know what? He poured it out as an offering to God because he said, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. Only you are worthy of that. Only you are worthy of that. He did what Jacob did when Jacob poured it out. He did what Gideon did when Gideon poured out an offering before the Lord. He was saying, no. I'm not worthy of this. Lord, I'm not worthy of this. Only you are worthy of this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says this. 2 Timothy 4 and 6. I quoted it for years, and I would pop it off. For I'm now ready to be offered up. But a better translation would be this. When Paul got to the end of the way, this is what the New King James says. He said, I'm now ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I want my life to be what it's been. I want my life, Paul was saying, to be an offering unto the Lord. Here's what's amazing, folks. God gives us the blessings. The blessings come. It may be talent. It may be treasure. It may be personality. It may be influence. It may be health. God blesses us in a lot of ways. But folks, what he wants us to do is give it back to him. What he wants us to do is simply give it back to him. Once the men heard those words, boy, I'd sure like to have some of that water. Three guys said, anything for him. After what he's done for us, anything for him. After what he's done for us, after what he's done for us, anything for him. You know, folks, after what God's done for us, we ought to say anything for him. 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 God, you put my marriage back together. God, you help me over that problem. God, you help me over that addiction. God, you gave me a second chance. Somebody said, Brother Benny, God's a God of second chances. Get real. He's a God of third chances. He's a God of fourth chances. He's a God of fifth chances. So Pastor Benny, he's giving you a second. Oh, no, he's giving me a third chance. He's giving me a fourth chance. He's a God of beginning again. Anything for him. And then when David got it, he said, no, I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. I got up this morning. Something happened during the night, and power went out, and I thought it was one time and it was another time, so I was up early. And I said to the Lord, you know, folks, I wonder this. I'm just saying this. I wonder sometimes when we can't sleep and things, do you think maybe God's saying, won't you just get up and read your Bible? I wonder about it in my life, you know, when I can't rest. Well, maybe he's just saying, won't you just get up and pray? It's what happened to me this morning. But I got up, and I'm not a singer. I mean, I get requests, but I sing anyway. I'm not a singer. But I woke up, and I was singing this song. Change my heart, oh God. Make me ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Make me be like you. You know what? Many times I want to change you, and I want to change you, and I want to change you, and I want to change you. And I want to change you, and I want to change you, and I want to change me. But I can't even change me. Only God can change me. Because only God can change a heart. And God can change your heart. So, Pastor B, there's no hope for our marriage. Oh, yes, there is. Because God can change hearts. There's no hope for me getting past this situation. Oh, yes, there is. Because God can change hearts. You say, but I don't even want to be around that person this Thanksgiving. Oh, but God can change hearts. Amen. God can change hearts. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5 says. I don't know why I'm on that, but I'm glad God can change hearts.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.